Hey, you want that to go?
Oh, yeah. News takeout this morning. Stories we want you to stay on top of this week. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway, joins us. So, Todd, the Fort Hood shootings took place a week ago last Thursday. President Obama warned that Congress should stay clear of this terrible tragedy in terms of hearings and investigations until the military is done with its investigations. But it looks like Congress isn't heeding that warning at all.
Yeah, they're not. Good morning, John. And often Congress doesn't heed the warnings of the executive. You know, you get into these warnings and then you start to get into turf battles and separation of powers. So Congress is going to start to hold hearings on Fort Hood. Now, they start this morning, not a hearing technically, but a briefing. Army Secretary John McHugh and General Casey, Army Chief of Staff, coming to the Senate Armed Services Committee this morning to brief senators in a closed briefing, not a hearing, as I said, on what we know and what is known about the Fort Hood shootings, how they happened, and who knew what and when. That's happening this morning. And then Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy over the weekend saying that his committee will conduct hearings into the Fort Hood shootings. Now, Attorney General Eric Holder is scheduled to come up onto the Hill on Wednesday to talk about other broader issues at the Justice Department, but Leahy saying he probably will be asked about Fort Hood and what the FBI knew about that and what they're doing about it. So it's not an official hearing on Fort Hood, but it's certainly going to come up.
Very quickly, Todd, what oversight does Congress have here? Is it the sort of state of play inside security of bases? Does Congress have anything to say about that? Is it the extent to which the FBI is watching the military and notifies the military of their own terrorism investigations? What sort of thing?
Well, Congress always has oversight because they control the purse strings and they control the laws. So if Congress needs to change military law, they can certainly do that. One thing the White House is looking at is how the intelligence services handled what they knew about Hassan. Of course, remember, some of his colleagues were concerned about him and they knew that he was communicating with radical imams up to a year before these attacks. So if Congress determines that laws weren't strong enough, or the intelligence services either didn't have enough authority or didn't follow the authority that they had to prevent an attack like this, certainly they could either throw more money at the problem, as they often do, or crack down on some intelligence laws or security
laws. They've got oversight because they are Article 1 of the Constitution. Absolutely. Everyone else stands in line. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
Okay, now on to business with Kelly Evans. She's economics reporter for the Wall Street Journal. Kelly, we're expecting retail numbers out today in just a little bit over an hour. We've seen better than expected results from JCPenney and Abercrombie & Fitch. That seems to have also Walt Disney. That seems to have be having a lot of analysts feeling pretty darn good. They think this is a sign that people are finally starting to spend again, even though consumer confidence is down. So is it possible for people to have no confidence in the economy even as they spend more?
We're not sure, but you exactly point out the dichotomy right now that people are looking to answer, which is that as we're seeing some encouraging signs about consumer spending, we're also seeing in recent months their consumer sentiment weakening sharply. There are two main surveys of sentiment. Both have shown a retracement after rebounding over the summer. So the question is, okay, you know, if people are getting out there spending a little bit more in stores, is that really going to translate into a broader increase in consumer spending, which is sort of the biggest component of the U.S. economy? So it's pretty critical to how it does here as we look at recovery. And so the retail sales report we get this morning covers not only sort of shopping at stores, but also grocery stores, buying motor vehicles. It's a pretty broad gauge. And the report will be for October, the first month of the fourth quarter. Probably really help give us a sense of whether spending is improving. It had had declined in September after the Cash for Clunkers program ended. So the motor vehicles have really been driving the headline number there. So look for that headline figure to tell us a little bit about demand, but also look for people to be following the underlying categories and seeing whether there is strength in some of these categories or whether there are any signs that, as their sentiment indicates, that people are becoming sort of more worried now about the economy.
Well, and the headlines today are that GM is going to be paying back part of its loans to the government sooner than expected, and that they took a $1.2 billion loss since they left bankruptcy protection. That's way less than they had expected to lose. So maybe there's a sign for hope. Kelly Evans is the economics reporter for The Wall Street Journal.
So over the weekend, maybe you were watching NFL players batting each other around on the field, but our sports contributor, Takeaway sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, says Saturday night was all about boxing.
Conte stopped late on against Margarito. Will it happen again? And Kenny Bayless says no more! Manny Pacquiao has another sensational night! He is a five-weight world world champion. An unbelievable display yet again.
Manny Pacquiao against Miguel Cotto from Puerto Rico. And this was the biggest heavyweight fight really in almost a decade. What did you make of, first of all, the significance of this bout?
Well, first of all, Manny Pacquiao, who's probably going to run for Congress in the Philippines. He's the most popular right. Filipino in the world. He may be duly noted as one of the best of all times. Put him in a category as Ali and Frazier and Sugar Ray. He's won 7 titles in 7 weight classes. He's the first person to do that.
Now, so wait, so 7 weight, and I said heavyweight there, which is wrong, but he's a welterweight?
Correct. He's a
but
welterweight.
How can you have 5 different weights as titles?
He's basically moved up. Every time he's won one, he's moved up. He's won one, he's moved up. With Cotto, he started as a teenager, and then now he's reached his highest weight class. The question was whether he was going to be heavy-handed enough in this to win
right.
against Cotto. But what he did was that he comes with both fists, he hits both ways, and he comes at different angles. So people don't know. Cotto was saying, I didn't know where he was. The punches were coming from. I didn't know how he was hitting me. And he bloodied him up. His face was beaten, battered, and bruised at all places.
So he's a power hitter, and he's a real stylist as
And
well.
He's got the footwork of Muhammad Ali. So he's a dangerous, dangerous fighter. Cotto was the underdog, even though he was bigger. Even though he got some good shots in on him, he still was getting battered by the smaller Pacquiao.
Are people going to follow the welterweight game, though, like they followed the heavyweights in the traditional sort of Muhammad Ali days?
So the big talk now is, obviously, is he going to fight Floyd Mayweather? And Mayweather-Pacquiao could be a fight as big as Ali and Frazier in 71.
Right.
That's the level that these fighters are at now.
And this was a pay-per-view event like no other. We don't know the purse, but $54 at least it cost you to watch the fight. Hey, Ibrahim, thanks so much. Ibrahim Abdelmateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor.
Good morning.